In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. The last 2 weeks, in the first week, we talked about Thomas, after the first week after Pascha. Last week, we went back to the empty tomb. And this week, we have the perplexing choice of the church to go way back into the Gospel of John, to John 5, and to go to the paralytic and the healing. This particular gospel is also read at another time during the year, and so we'll hear it again in the future. But why would it be within the lectionary at this particular day? Well, one reason is because it says that Jesus was going to the feast, and it is surmised by many of the fathers that the feast that he was going to was Pentecost, and that while he was in town for Pentecost, his healing takes place. And we're on our way to Pentecost. Others say, because the Bible actually does not say what feast it is, it just says the feast of the Jews, that it is could possibly be the feast of Purim, a minor feast that doesn't really require a travel to Jerusalem. Nonetheless, that doesn't matter. I think this one of the spiritual reasons, and this would be maybe, I hate to say original with me, not really, but every year I contemplate it, is that, you know, every year we, as we go through Lent and progress to Pascha, my thought process is that Pascha is a point we return to every year. It's a reference point in our spiritual life. We live from Pascha to Pascha. And in doing so, we assess our spirit. I assess my spiritual life, Pascha to Pascha. What has changed? What is really different about me? What have I gained during the Lenten season? Was there any sort of transformation that has happened between this year and last year? Well, and especially since as we go through Lent and the fasting and we go to Pascha, there's an immediacy to the grace of God in a sense that the power and the joy of what is happening surely must transform us. And so for 2 weeks, in some ways, we've come back to the tomb and we've celebrated that joy. But I've also recognized in my own spiritual life that the week after Pascha is a time of temptation. Wait. A week after, that was years ago. Now I'm at the point where the second week after is the point of temptation because I'm aware that the first week, and so I prepare for it. But hold on, that was years ago. It's the third week now. In the third week, there's a temptation and there's also the possibility of falling because I prepared for the second week after and the first and the second. And Satan just took the long game and waited for me till the third week. And because I'm tired, because it's a busy season, right? And when that fall happens, and when that those sins, and when those things that beset us happen, they remind us and they take us out of the joy of the season. They remind us that we are indeed mortal. And that our failings have followed us, even through the Paschal season. And this is certainly a painful revelation, but also a feeling of paralysis, a feeling of what has really changed. I remember early on here, someone asked me, what is the difference between before Jesus dies and after Jesus dies and rises from the dead? And I, at the time, my brain was mush. I was fresh out of seminary, and I couldn't think of an answer. But I think spiritually, sometimes for us, that in our own souls and in our own lives, that the experience is that we don't necessarily have an answer. That we may well be stuck in the same sins that we were last year, and the year before, and the year before, and that from our own perspective, we see very little progress. Very little healing, very little reality no miracles. You know, today in the epistle and the gospel, there are three miracles. One where Peter raises Aeneas, who's been in his bed 8 years. Jesus raises the paralytic after 38 years. And Jesus Peter raises Tabitha from the dead. Those type of miracles happened back then, but now we're stuck in some sort of spiritual inertia, and even the smallest victories of our own spiritual life seem unobtainable. So we come to today this paralysis and this gospel. Maybe that's the reason why the fathers chose it, maybe not. That's the way I think of it. The man who sits by that pool for 38 years, 38 years is an entire lifetime in that day and age. You know, the life expectancy might have been 45 or 50. You know, you were doing good to get past that, but he sat there for 38 years. So we're talking about the entirety of his life. The effect that his paralysis had on him was that he had essentially missed life. One way to think about it is, and Father Alexander Schmemann talks about this a little bit, is that his life was entirely focused on the pool in front of him, on being healed. Let's think of what suffering does to people. For some people, suffering in our own personal sins or actual physical suffering helps us grow. It makes us into something. It purifies us, and it makes us benevolent and loving and merciful to other people. And then for some of us, suffering, our own sins or the sins or those things that attack our body, makes us entirely narcissistic. It makes us stare at ourselves and think about our illnesses all day long and focus primarily on the fact that we need a cure, while we're surrounded by people who also need cures. This is the state the man in paralysis mentions. He says, I have no man to let me in the water. So that means for 38 years, all those various people with their various ailments sat around, and because they needed to save themselves, they jumped in the water first, never looking up and offering help to anyone else, never looking outside of their own predicament, because this is about my healing. I need to be healed. Who cares what you suffer with? Who cares what your problems are? I need to be healed. This is an unhealthy, for a Christian, an unhealthy mentality. To be so wrapped up in our own narcissistic idea of our sufferings that we forget that there are other people around us. It happens. I'm not saying that we can avoid it sometimes. Sometimes the pain is so bad that we just fall into this, but it is certainly not the ideal. Our Lord sees this situation. He asks the man, do you want to be made well? What is he really asking this man? Of course, this man wants to be made well. But we can go to the end of the gospel, and at the end of the gospel, Jesus says, don't sin anymore. Don't commit sin, lest the worst thing come upon you. And from that point, we understand that part of his healing was the forgiveness of sins. And that it is possible that his paralysis is tied to a sin. So what is he really asking? Do you want to be made well? He may be asking on a deeper level, are you willing to give up your sin? Are you willing to give up that thing that you prioritize so much that it has led you into paralysis? I think about it in our own lives. Are you willing to give up your pride? Are you willing to give up your lust, your jealousy, your envy? These are the things we're asked to give up during Lent and the things we hopefully think that we conquer. But so often they're the things that bind us in some sort of stuckness. And we stay stuck. And our Lord also asks us, do you want to be made well? But if we want to be made well, we're going to have to give something up. You can't stay the same and change. To be healed means to be changed. And it's not just that he stands up, but it's in his soul something has to change. And so the man answers, yes, he wants to be made well, he's healed. But for us, the same question arises in our spiritual life. And maybe if you examine it, you can discover over time that in fact, oftentimes, I do not want to be made well. I do not want to be healed, because if I was healed, I wouldn't be so special. I wouldn't have the ability to be so narcissistic and self-focused. I wouldn't have the ability to think that my plight was worse than anyone else's. I wouldn't be able to be jealous like I usually am, and a host of other sins, whatever it may be. Do I want to be made well? The fact is that oftentimes when examined, the answer is absolutely not. Leave me here. I like the pool in front of me. I'd like to stare at that another 38 years. But, of course, the gospel asks us to be raised from the dead. And so we've been given some paschal joy. And maybe we've had a sin or two or a fall since our Lord's great Pascha. Maybe we've been tempted to think that we're stuck. In today's gospel, we see, and the epistles, we see three healings. So these are also meant to be an encouragement to us. It's not simply that we're paralyzed. It's that Jesus can also heal us. And it may take a long time. It may take 38 years. It may be 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. It may be to the end of our life on our deathbed that we are repenting of the same sin over and over. But that is the Christian life. This is not a quick fix, plastic banana religion. This is not an easy life. This is a life of gradual transformation. So may God bless us to be like this paralytic and to answer yes, to be willing to change. Our willingness is so important. Let us pull ourselves out of our own narcissism when we focus on primarily our own problems and don't see anyone else around us. Most importantly, let us go to the author and finisher of our faith. Christ knows the timing at which we are to be transformed. Let's go to Him and ask Him to make it a reality. Let's go to Him so that He can let us die and rise with Him again. So that we can be continually transformed, to be made upright, to be healed, to be saved, which is ultimately what happens today for the paralytic. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen.